wilderness now, it seems to think a place that people long to be in. Now, that's a bit weird, isn't it, really? If you think about what wilderness has meant through the ages, it's not necessarily a place that people have wanted to be, and it's not necessarily what we would think of when we read this passage. So what is the wilderness? Well, that's a bit of a washed out picture, but it's a bit of a washed out place. That is the wilderness of Judea. We think of it really as a place that's desolate, that's empty and barren and fruitless. Nothing grows in the wilderness. Probably think of it as a physical place. So something that looks a bit like this. I'm not sure whether you think of national parks in the UK, parts of Scotland maybe, parts of the Lake District, parts that feel a long way from civilization. Civilization is almost the opposite of wilderness, isn't it? Where things have been made, where things happen. But I wonder as well whether wilderness can be seen in other ways. For the people that Luke was writing for, the nation of Israel had a different understanding of wilderness. Wilderness was the place that they had gone for 40 years when they escaped from Egypt. Wilderness was the sense they had when they were banished from Jerusalem, when they were taken over and forced into exile. Wilderness was the idea for them, perhaps, that God had abandoned them. God had left Jerusalem. He'd left them under other people's power and authority. There are some parts in Ezekiel where Ezekiel has a vision and he describes digging a hole in the wall of Jerusalem and walking away into the wilderness. That was their feeling, that God had abandoned them. That either they were in the wilderness or he was in the wilderness, but the wilderness wasn't where they wanted to be. They wanted to be back in Jerusalem with the king, with the Messiah, leading them, restoring them, renewing them. What about today? What might wilderness mean to us if it's not a physical place? Well, I thought about people who probably feel like they're cast into the wilderness. People living in poverty, where the normal things that the rest of society accepts as how things should be have been taken away. I don't know politically whether you might feel like we're thrashing around in a wilderness at the moment, or maybe we're just about to enter the wilderness, whatever is decided this week. So it might be a social wilderness, it might be a political wilderness. Are we in a moral wilderness? Does it feel a bit like our society doesn't really know what's right and wrong anymore? Have we been taken out of those places where there is certainty into places where the landscape's a bit barren? Nobody seems to know quite what we should be doing. Or it might be that you're feeling like you're in a personal wilderness. Maybe circumstances have taken you out of your normal life and are leaving you in a place where you're not quite sure what's going on, where it might feel a bit desolate. It might feel a bit barren and fruitless. It might feel a bit empty. Well, that's one way of looking at wilderness. That's the kind of the empty, desolate place that nobody wants to be. But as I've thought about this, it struck me that actually there are some advantages in the wilderness. Jesus went out into the wilderness after his baptism, a place to prepare, a place to be away from distractions. John went out into the wilderness when the voice of God came to him, when the Holy Spirit came to him. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah. This is almost exactly the same phrase that happens at the beginning of Jeremiah, where it says, if I can find where I put my bookmark in, says this: the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him. And Luke is drawing parallels between Jeremiah and his ministry and John and his ministry. They were both sons of priests. They were both taken out into the wilderness where the word of God, the Holy Spirit, came to them. That was a good place from that point of view. And as we're in Advent at the moment, it may be that God is calling us to spend a little bit of time in the wilderness. Not that miserable wilderness of circumstances or of things going wrong or of fruitlessness, but the wilderness in the sense that it's away from the things that normally happen, the things that we just take for granted and do all the time. Advent is a wonderful time to make a bit of space, to find our own wilderness, almost to find our safe wilderness. Well, we might think it's safe. God might have other ideas. But we can be encouraged to come out into the wilderness, to leave the normal hustle and bustle behind just for a little bit. This phrase where it says the word of God came to John, actually it says came upon. In the same way that the Spirit of God came upon people in the Old Testament for a particular reason. The other thing about this wilderness is that the first three verses of the reading we had were all about who was in charge, with impossible names of different places, different layers, the emperor, the tetrarchs, all those people that were listed, the power of society. All of those were put on one side as if it was a boxing match. In one corner of the ring, we have the human power and authority. And in the other corner, we have John in the wilderness. But the power and the words that come from the human authorities are nothing compared to the power of God through his word in the wilderness. And maybe that's an encouragement for us to think about what really matters. Where does our power really come from? Is it from our status, the things we have, the roles we play? Or is it from that still small voice of God speaking into our lives? So, we've got the wilderness, we've got the voice, John the prophet. What exactly is this call that he has? Well, it's a call to repent. It's a call to rethink, and it's a call to return. To the people who were living in darkness, as it says at the beginning of John, they needed to repent. They needed to see God again, to think about the things that they were doing and the ways they were living, and to return to the way that he would call them to. And John did this by calling people out and by baptizing them. That was a sign for them that they wanted a fresh start. They wanted to wash away their sins. And by being baptized, by going into the Jordan, by being washed clean, they were having that new start. And it was an encouragement for them to return to God's ways. It was for forgiveness, for a fresh start, and for a readiness to receive all that God had for them. But this passage, there's a quote in it, the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. That comes from Isaiah 40. It's a quote. Exactly those words. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So John's a sign. This is my one-way sign. How does his ministry fulfill the prophecy? Well, I think there are three things here. It's an important marker of the start of Jesus' ministry. We see later that Jesus comes to be baptized by John, and it's from that baptism that his ministry begins. It's part of a messianic story. This idea that the Lord has gone out into the wilderness, that he's left Jerusalem, but that he's going to return. And we see Jesus returning through his ministry from that start in the wilderness to Jerusalem, to his crucifixion and resurrection. And it's part of the bigger picture that we remember at Advent as well, that Jesus will come again. And it begins with the call to us to repent, to rethink, and to return. Now, it talks about road building. In those days, if a royal personage or somebody really important was coming to town, they would make sure that the roads were smooth. They would rebuild any bits that had been damaged, filling in the potholes, smoothing out the bumps. But this picture that John gives, this idea that the hills will be made low, that the valleys will be raised up, is road building on a completely different level. Now, in 1823, road building on a completely different level looked like this. Apparently, Reigate Tunnel is the first in this country, possibly the first in Europe, the first road tunnel built. And it was built by the landowner who had the castle grounds above, so that people didn't have to go round the edge, so that they could go straight underneath, a straight road. Now, in those days, that was a fairly major undertaking. Today, it's still a major undertaking, isn't it, when you think about the tunnels, the ways that people build through hills, through mountains. So John's saying, this is big stuff. So what's the big picture? Well, a big picture in those days, and for us as well, I think, is that Jesus was the king coming on that road, coming to restore, to reign, and to reunite us with God. That's a pretty big picture. But it isn't the whole picture, because the eternal picture is beyond us, in a sense. There are bits that we can do to help the big picture. So we're going to have some time in a while for silence to think about what it means to us to hear that voice calling in the wilderness. But the eternal picture is that it's God who's going to do that road building, who's going to raise up the valleys, who's going to lower the mountains so that everyone can see his glory. So, simple message, there's a wilderness. What do you think the wilderness is that strikes you this morning? Might be different for each of us. What's the wilderness that God's putting on your heart today? Is it a personal one? Is it a national one? Is it perhaps a friend you know who it feels for them like they're in the wilderness? Where are the wilderness places in my life, the difficult, challenging ones, and the opportunities for space ones? Where is there emptiness or barrenness or desolation? What's the voice? How do we hear that voice? How are we making sure that we're listening for that voice? It's not just on a Sunday. Heaven forbid that I'm the only way God speaks to you this week. How do we hear that voice? And what's the call? What's the call for us in this period of waiting in Advent? Are we being called to refocus? To repent? To rethink? or maybe even to return. Are there potholes that we're aware of, places we keep tripping up as we do our Christian walk? Are there things we keep bumping into that we can do something about? Are there rubbish piles that we keep walking around that we need to ask God to help us remove? We're going to have 5 minutes of quietness. This is a treat for some people, particularly if you have small children. This is a real treat. 5 minutes just together of quietness. It doesn't matter if you shuffle. It doesn't matter if you cough. It doesn't matter if you sneeze. It doesn't matter if it's unbearable and you just want to go out for 5 minutes and then come back in again when we start singing. That's fine. 5 minutes just to think. And I lost my last slide. Okay, I wanted to put on the last slide these verses from Isaiah 40. Because as I said, that bit about the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Do you want to just lose the screen for a minute? One calling in the wilderness, the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, comes after this first verse. And as we think about our wilderness, we do it in the context of hope, that if we focus on the wilderness, it may not feel very hopeful. But when we focus on the one who comes to us, the one who maybe needs to meet us at our lowest point, he says this, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." You might feel that you're lost in the wilderness, but it's actually the best place to be found by the Messiah. Father, as we spend a little time in quiet, we pray that you would bless us, that you would open our ears, that you would speak, and that we would be able to respond. Amen.